I have the privilege of introducing our speaker, but I think most of you already know her very well. But I bet I can tell you something about her that you didn't know. Vicki and Art remained in our community, of course, after retiring from Bethany Church in 2013. Vicki has always had a passion for working with United Methodist Women, and while she was here, she was our president, and just has always kind of formed a team with Art wherever he ministered. She has provided ministry for the United Methodist Church for over 25 years. She served as an administrative assistant, accounting manager, as well as secretary to three district superintendents. In her retired life now, she continues to be a part-time accounting administrator at Crooks Memorial UMC. She and Art spend their time joyfully with their family, their daughter Amy, three grandsons, Samuel, Caleb, and Jacob, as well as her son Troy, and their daughter-in-law Jen. Other times, Vicki loves going on the boat with Art to fish. You know how Art likes to fish. And she enjoys reading, gardening, beach time, and catching up with family and friends. She's also a member of the York River Circle of the King's Daughters and Sons, which we are very glad of. And she soon will be assuming the position of treasurer for the Samaritan Group. Vicki will also be Mrs. Claus at Christmastown this season.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a switch, isn't it, for having me up here? So I want to thank the United Methodist Women for inviting me to be here today to celebrate the 150th anniversary of United Methodist Women. I am happy to see you today. While Art was your pastor from 2010 to 2013, it was my honor to be involved in UMW, which has been close to my heart since I was 27 years old when I first joined United Methodist Women. And as a child, I remember my mother being a member of the Women's Society of Christian Service. Do you remember that, Jean? Which is now called UMW. 150th anniversary, wow. How did that vision remain so strong? How did it begin? Let's go back in time for a few minutes. It's 1869, and it only took eight women to catch a vision to help women and children who lived at a time where there was very little service to women because of prejudice and limitations of cultural attitudes in church and in society. Sometimes we still are trying to overcome some of the prejudices. But in 1869, Mrs. Clementina Butler and Mrs. Lois Parker, wives of missionary to India, were home on furlough. They spoke to a group of eight women in Boston. Mrs. Butler told about the desperate spiritual and physical needs for women in India. A male doctor could not treat women. Schooling for girls was almost non-existent. Single, trained, and dedicated women were needed for medical and educational work. This was acceptable. Preaching and baptizing would not be an option for women for another 100 years. So these women found a way to become a moving force as they called another meeting of women. They wrote a constitution and organized the first Methodist Women's Foreign Missionary Society. By November 1869, the newly formed organization raised funds and sent Isabella Thorburn, an educator, and Dr. Clara Swain, a doctor, to India. They heard God's call to go to all people, and they obeyed. Miss Thorburn began a school with six children, young girls. This school expanded to become the first women's college in Asia. Dr. Swain began her medical work, resulting in the establishment of the first women's hospital in Asia. Both of these institutions are still serving the people of India today. These two women became the society's first missionaries, who likewise responded to God's call. God doesn't call us all to be missionaries. However, he does ask us to be witnesses and his disciples. So, just what is a disciple? I believe that a disciple is one who follows Christ, trusting in him alone for their salvation, worshiping him, loving him with our whole heart, imitating his life, and obeying his teaching, living dependently by abiding in Christ, walking in the Holy Spirit, meditating on the Word of God, engaging in prayer, and partnering with the body of Christ, which is the local church. This results in the transformation of the mind, the heart, and the life, and leads others to do the same. Pope Francis spoke about living our faith as he said, "Today's world stands in need of great witnesses. It's not so much about speaking, but rather speaking with our whole lives, living consistently, the very consistency of our lives." He also said, "Being a disciple means being constantly ready to bring the love of Jesus to others. And this can happen unexpectedly any place, on the street or in a city or in the country or during work or even on a journey." So are we ready to be a disciple who is anchored in God's truth? A balanced believer is one who works at applying the truth to their living. One who not only talks about ministries, but they give their time and energy to help others with the Holy Spirit's guidance. You might feel like you're not able to share your faith because you don't know what to say, or you don't feel like you're a good talker, or maybe you just don't think you have time. The good news is that God uses small things in big ways. Mother Teresa says to do small things with great love. It is God who changes people, not us. God gives us the words. Our job is to be faithful, to share what we can whenever we can. Our job is to plant seeds, like the seeds we see on for the children's time that were shared. Trust God to bring the growth. Our mission field is not sitting in this church where our friends are. There is a host of people who have not heard the gospel message, at your work, in other organizations, maybe your neighbors, even family members, people you spend time with, maybe at ball games, in the grocery store. These people are your mission field. We have daily opportunities to have God use each of us. When we collaborate with God, pray for God to use us in his work, and invite God to guide us and help us pay attention to these nudgings, we find ourselves in the midst of God's bigger story and playing a part in God's redemptive work in other people's lives. Show love. Live honestly and faithfully every day. We may not be biblical scholars, but we can show love to others with a plate of chocolate chip cookies or chocolate brownies or, well, no, never mind. Or by offering to babysit your neighbor's children or being a listener to a single mom. When we do small things in a godly way, we are planting seeds and bearing fruit. God does the rest. We are God's witnesses. There may be times when we don't have answers to life's questions that others may seek. As a believer, though, we trust that God knows what he's doing, even when we have no idea what he's doing. We just need to be available, and he will equip us. Our job is to remain faithful. Take up the cross and follow him. We might ask ourselves when trying to decide how to respond to someone else by asking ourselves, in this situation, what is the most loving thing I can do? Remember those little bands, What Would Jesus Do? Kind of goes along with that. Now, going back to our United Methodist Women, we remember what sustained this ongoing organization with a membership today of over 800,000 women. We started with 8 and now have 800,000. Faith and hope sustained our foremothers. We are grateful that Mrs. Parker and Mrs. Butler said yes to God's nudging 150 years ago in their small way. As we see how much has been accomplished in the area of missions through United Methodist Women, we can be inspired to be disciples and also make a difference. At the end of 2017, the Southeast jurisdiction of UMW, in which Virginia is a part of, donated $1,814,000 to mission giving. All of the jurisdictions together gave over $5,239,000 to mission giving. What would those founding mothers think about that amount of 800,000 today? It all started with a small group of women. They had a vision and they took that small step. They heard and listened to God's nudgings. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step when you don't see the whole staircase. That first step is the beginning. It is by faith that we walk." Maybe we can learn from Corrie Ten Boom and Catherine Marshall, two holy women of faith who knew what it meant to experience the presence of the unseen, who spent hours on their knees, who wept over the wounds of the world. For them, prayer was a second language. We don't have these matriarchs with us any longer, so it is up to us to grow up spiritually. We are the generation of Christian adults responsible for the spiritual condition of our nation. We start with one step at a time. We can't do everything, but we can do something. You have chosen to be in worship today to get refueled for a new week. We pray. We sing praises to God. We discern what the Bible says together, and then we go out to serve, to share our faith in action. As we open up to God's plan for us and listen, our faith will multiply. Faith requires us to think, feel, and believe. Get involved, volunteer, smile and be joyful. Make a difference in the lives of others. Be a friend, be an encourager. Pray. May prayer become our second language. We can take small steps in proclaiming the gospel to our world and be able to continue passing our faith on through the ages. May we be instruments of God's love and faithfulness, just as those original 8 original women shared their faith. Those who came before us had those same traits that are available to us today because of God's love: being patient, loving, long-suffering, uncomplaining, peaceful, and the list goes on. I read about a lifeguard and a swimming instructor who could see apprehension in the eyes of some of her students. She encouraged them to take the first step anyway because they knew their feet were going to touch in the shallow end of the pool. As the instructor asked them to move into deeper waters, their confidence and faith began to fade. We are like the new swimmers sometimes. Our faith can be strong when we know what to expect. To do more in life, to take the chance that our heart is asking us to take, we have to have the faith to jump in without knowing the depth of the water. God is our lifeline. God is with us. We walk by faith, not by sight. We, as Christians, aren't so different from those 8 women who started UMW. Our work today is not just about service. It's about worship. It's about standing up and stepping up to make our voices heard. Remember, God has planted greatness in each of you. Let today be the day to start living the plan that He intended for you. God equips each of us. Let us remember from the book of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Wherever life takes you, no matter what turn life takes, the faithful believer is the one who keeps going, keeps serving, and keeps sharing, because we know God is in control. As faithful believers, we understand that the things of this life are nothing in comparison of what is yet to come. Our goal is to follow God wherever He leads, even when we don't know exactly where God is taking us. Remember, the best is yet to come. I would like to close now with a prayer from the Response Magazine of November 2018. Let us pray. Loving God, be present with us and strengthen us, God of our foremothers, as we celebrate the rich legacy of faith, hope, and love in action. For United Methodist Women members whose dedication to service and advocacy for underserved communities across racial lines bears witness to the spirit of our foremothers. For those who are without shelter, without food, and without freedom. For those forced to flee their homelands and seeking a safe place of refuge. For those in prison, their families and friends, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, make fertile the soil for the planting and growing of hope and peace, so that we can be instruments of your unfailing love and faithfulness. May your word flourish and yield a harvest, bringing new life to ourselves and to those among us. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.